There we go. Welcome to Geek Pile, where we talk about all things geek, movies, comics, games. If it's geek, we talk about it. And with me, as always, the only guy who remembers Optimus Prime's middle name, the Danimator. What's up, Dan?
Oh, you jerk. I knew you were going to... I knew you were going to do that and, like, bring it up again. I don't think... Okay, now, if anyone is listening and you want to call in what Optimus Prime's middle name is, I don't think he has a middle name. But you can feel free to call in at 646-652-2556. But I don't think Optimus Prime has a middle name. All I believe is true is if he did, it might be Orion, only because I think that was Optimus Prime's original first name before he became Optimus Prime and he turned into a badass fighter. He was just Orion Sachs, who was like, I don't know, he made deliveries for UPS on Cybertron. Like, I don't know what he did, but it
did he do? What did do before?
He was just like, I don't know, he was still blue and red, but he was kind of like, oh, I don't know, I'm just doing stuff, and, you know, it's cool, we can trust the Decepticons, you know. You're just the military.
And all my planet now.
Yeah, it didn't work out. Exactly. It didn't turn out too well, but anyways, yeah. How you been, man? It's been a little bit.
Been pretty good, man. Pretty good. Just kind of, you know, there's been a lot of stuff geek-wise out to sink your teeth into, for sure, right?
I feel like you went away for, like, one weekend and went to some crazy wedding. And then... you come back, and I feel like there's, like, 50 things to talk about. I mean, had the Star Wars trailer hit?
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that right off the bat. Let's talk about it. What do you say?
Dude, I was pissing in my pants. It was awesome. It was great.
I mean, so you're pretty stoked?
Yeah, that first major shot with the desert and the Star Destroyer crashing to the planet and, like, is that Tatooine? You know, all the questions you ask yourself. Right. Yeah, who knows? Maybe. Or maybe that's what happened to Endor.
Shut up. We don't know. Shut up, Dad. We don't report horseshit. They can't be Endor. Yeah, hello. Get him out of here. So let me ask you this, okay?
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, okay, this is where I was going to go with that. Thank you, Chewie. Don't you think it's weird at the very final thing you hear that there's Chewbacca and Han Solo and he's on there and he's saying that they're home or whatever?
Yeah, what is home?
Okay,
right?
First off, okay, this is what I think. Do you want to know what I think?
Yeah.
First off, it's weird to have Harrison Ford say something all heartfelt about Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, usually he's like, fuck you, I'm Han Solo, suck a dick, I hate that guy. But then when he comes on, he's like, oh, Chewie, we're home.
Right.
I don't know how sincere that was.
Well, no,
secondly,
no, that does... Go ahead.
It must mean that they haven't been on the Falcon in, like, forever, right?
If that is, in fact, home, and that would make sense, because, I mean...
That would, right?
What? Unless we're going to find out what his home, what their home is. If not the Millennium Falcon, then what? But it does make sense that he's a little corny and that he's a little, like, emotional. Because isn't that basically what Han became at the end of Jedi? I mean, come on. He was like...
What do you mean, corny?
You know what I'm saying? He was kind of corny and weird at the end of Jedi because he was getting kissed by Leia and... You know,
after she'd already tried to make a play for her brother.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, oh,
hey, that was
gosh.
Yeah, that was,
oh,
that
shucks,
was really,
I didn't know you cared. Oh.
That was fucking weird, man. That's the one thing about Star Wars that you can never really justify. That's fucking weird.
Yeah, the brother thing. Well, anyway. Well, what, gosh. That and the whole, well, you know what? I know what I could talk about. We bring on our guest here.
Yeah, why don't we bring on our guest so we can talk with us?
Yeah, of course. I'm sure he's got stuff to say about Star Wars too, and there's so much to talk about. It's not to exclude, and you know. So anyway, our guest this week is Jin Shin. So let me bring him on here.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Jin,
how's up?
What's up?
Oh my God. So before this call, we had to shore up this Optimus Prime thing. But I went and yes.
Oh.
So I wanted to go find out. So I went and looked at this stuff on my phone. But but
we'll allow it.
Before we do introductions, we need to figure this out. So turns out his original name was Orion Pax. P-A-X?
Pax.
So yeah, you're pretty close. Orion Pax. Right.
Nice.
And we talked about this before the show. There was an episode where the aerial bots travel back in time and meet Optimus Prime before he became Optimus Prime. And I don't remember exactly, and it's not really written, what he was doing beforehand. So he could have been a delivery guy for all we know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Logically.
Yes, but Orion Pax. And I don't know if he actually – they don't show up the middle name. I think the other name that they have for him was like Optotrix or something, and I think that's like a Japanese version of his name or something, but I don't know. So, but yes, Orion Pax. So good memory, because I do not remember that from the episode at all.
But you remembered all the aerial bots and stuff, right?
Cause I do, because I thought that was freaking cool, right? Because even as a kid when I was watching that, you know, normally the episodes didn't really move a lot of character development, right? It's always just kind of like, the flying Decepticons, you know, got away, right?
Yeah,
that's
basically
it.
Go away, buy our toys.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, whereas like this is like, oh wow, we get some backstory. Like this is actually kind of deep. So
yeah.
You know, and then obviously the movie. I don't know where that movie came from, but that was like they went super deep with that, and then basically the problem that I had after the movie and then many, many years of not watching the TV show is I made the mistake of going back and watching the TV show again, thinking that it was as good as the movie, but it's not.
No.
That's the only thing. It's like, it's you know, like, Optimus Prime was such a badass in the movie, but, like, in the TV show, he's always just kind of like, I guess we should go and attack them, maybe, you know, and, you know, in the movie, he could fly a little bit. He had all these other extra, you know, nice things going for him, right?
Prime was always a badass. I mean, come on, yeah, I mean, he was always
like,
trying to get the good, you know, get the, you know, he had to be fair.
How
he had to play by the
fly?
Rules.
How can he fly?
The weird thing about flying and Autobots and aerial bots, right? Like aerial bots were like a big deal. Like, oh, now the Autobots can fly. But if you watch the first miniseries, the Autobots were flying in the first few episodes. They were flying around just like
they were
the Decepticons.
Yeah.
So, you know, but they couldn't fly. Apparently they couldn't fly really high because at the end of the miniseries, like Optimus Prime had to grab, I think it was Sideswipe for some reason, had a rocket pack. And he had to fly up to the Decepticon shuttle before they took off to Cybertron at the end of the miniseries.
How did this not ever set off like the world defenses though? They were in disguise, right?
Right.
And the only Earth people that knew about him was like Spike and his dad.
Yeah, a couple of construction workers from an offshore mining rig. the only guys that know about it.
Yeah. But like there's giant, huge hunks of metal flying through the air, or planes, or giant mountain ranges get blown up and we don't know about it.
Right.
Hey, it could happen all the time, man. You know?
Yeah, I bet.
Hey, Jin, I want to, before we delve even deeper of Transformers, we brought you on for a more specific reason, but go ahead and just tell us a little about yourself before we get into that.
Sure. Yeah, so I guess, I'm originally from Chicago. I grew up watching Transformers and a lot of these things, and I spend a lot of my geek time, so to speak, in the designer tour world or the urban vinyl world or whatever you want to call that. And so I'm out here in San Francisco now, and you'll probably find me at all the various cons that have anything to do with toys. So So Designer Con is probably the biggest one that's happening in November. And what I do is I have some kind of interesting projects coming up that are in the toy world. But what I started off doing was I think the early 2000s, hugely addicted to finding these designer toys, which some of the folks in the kind of the art and comic space might have seen, like from Kid Robot and things like that, and just started collecting these things like crazy. And then I would say about 4 or 5 years ago, I started getting a little bit more involved with actually helping the artists out and promoting a lot of their stuff, helping them with toy designs, and then also helping shoot a lot of them. So what I do a lot of is actually a lot of the photography and the videography for a lot of these toys to try to promote that whole world. Because in my opinion, in the traditional fine art world as well as in the toy world, there's a lot of really cool stuff that's going on when these two things kind of merge together. So you're getting all these fine artists, graffiti artists, and things like that discovering a new medium, which is toys, for which a younger audience is actually interested in buying those things. So I was one of them. You know, in this day and age, not a lot of people buy paintings, you know, in our generation, but a lot of people are interested in these sculptures and also in the paint that goes on the sculptures, right? And so that, to me, is kind of like, that's sort of where the future of a lot of art is. And the other cool thing is that because we live in an age where there's a lot of interesting engineering and mass production, when I say mass production, I mean that, you know, McDonald's toys, they make a bajillion of them in one go, but you can use a lot of the similar techniques to make, you know, a couple hundred of them. And then all of a sudden, a lot of this fine art is accessible, right? And so that's what's also exciting to me, is because all of a sudden, regular folks who can't afford to buy a $500 custom piece from Huck G or something like that can buy a $10 version, a little miniature version of his, that Kid Robot makes, right? And so that to me is really exciting. So it's like, oh, you're making art more accessible. This is a new medium that is a lot more exciting than just a flat canvas. Respect of the canvas, though, I mean, you know, fine art, that's always going to live on. But to me, like in these last 10 years, this brand new medium for artists kind of came out of nowhere and is not going to go away, in my opinion. So, but that's kind of the core of my obsession. And so that's,
coolest,
you know, the
job ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, hands down, right? Coolest job ever.
You glad I brought him on, Biff?
You guys,
glad now?
Yeah, I love when we have guests like this. This is my favorite kind of shit. Like,
right.
The jobs where you never have to grow up, ever. You're like, oh,
right.
We're going to make Biff's toys like, today.
Biff's like, hook a brother up, you know? You
yeah,
need
like,
any,
he's
any
just
any
hiring
satellite,
what's up?
Yeah, any satellite divisions in Utah, Biff's your man.
Yeah, I will paint some toys right now. Like, you'd think it was Santa's workshop over here. I could do that. Be awesome.
But Jin isn't painting them, Biff. You're not painting them, right? Or do you paint them?
I know, but like they're like these next level toys and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is mass production.
Yeah.
You get that. You just said mass production. I can do that.
Yeah. 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 So. Well, I have painted toys. I've never shown anyone any of those. My background's actually originally in engineering, and so a lot of the stuff that I've been doing as of late more of is more, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on right now in the kind of the DIY, do-it-yourself kind of stuff is a lot of the 3D printing and the modeling side of things. So
right.
The world of like, right, and so 3D printing is becoming more and more accessible like every day. And so, you know, and I'm really, really lucky to live in the Bay Area where, you know, there's all these small 3D printer startups that are trying to, you know, get their thing off the ground. So you have access to a lot of them. You buy like a kilogram of plastic that costs like $30 and you can make something out of nothing in a few hours, which is pretty awesome, right? So I've been doing a little bit more of that. And then I'm glad you brought up painting because painting, in my opinion, is still like an unsolved problem. That's one of the things that people don't like to talk about too much when, you know, manufacturing toys is that at the end of the day, the paint job is one of the most important things when you buy a toy, right? And you see it, you're like, oh,
right.
This is all messy.
Right.
But, right? And the problem is that the technology to get access to mass production paint jobs is still out of reach, right? 3D printing is getting us closer to actually making the forms. But then if you want to get a design onto that thing, you either have to do it by hand or you need to go mass production and hire a company in China or somewhere else, right? Right. And that's labor intensive. And like, I am excited and I'm looking for ways, and I wish I had a solution I'm working on for which people can get their designs printed on these toys more easily, right? And that's kind of, in my opinion, the next frontier. So
that is an interesting dilemma, because that is something that I even as a kid, my brother and I would, like, you know, we'd buy our Star Wars toys or Spider-Man or whatever. My brother was notorious for getting his Spider-Man action figure, and if it didn't have webbing on it, you know who was going to the drawer to get the Sharpie out and just draw those webs on himself.
Right.
And yet, you know, and then I get to be an adult. I'm into art, and I'm like, okay, well, let me paint some stuff now. And boy, is it hard to get that because they got that, like, industrial ink, right? That, like, looks really like smooth as anything. It's the same surface level as the plastic, and it looks great, you know. And then you get these, when you go to Kid Robot or some specialty Urban Vinyl store, like, there they come out the box and they got that. You can tell it's a graphic artist or a graffiti artist doing this this awesome art, but it looks so nice when it's printed on that plastic. I can't explain it. It's like butter, you know. It's nice.
It's like, and
I've tried my hardest to like thin my paint out and like really make it look nice, but I don't know what they're doing, man. It's that special ink. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I mean, they do have special ink, but then the other thing they also do is they finish the piece after it's been painted too, right? With either they're UV curing it or they're varnishing it, right? So that it all gets evened out. So, and most of the time when you see like a really complex design, they're doing something called pad printing, where they literally take a really, really fine sponge and they dip that sponge on a die that's got the design, and then an ink, and then transfer it over. Kind of like, you know, like, it literally is like one of those, like, temporary tattoos, right? But 1,000 times nicer, right? That's literally what they're doing. And that ink is permanent, like what you described, and like butter. getting...
like butter.
Yeah.
Like butter, yep. Yeah, so one of the cool things that I'm seeing lately is, I don't know if you guys have been following the Amiibos, like the Nintendo toys that they're coming out with.
Oh, yeah, we got a bunch of those. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, holy shit, you need to go to, like, if you go to the subreddit for Amiibos, like r/Amiibos, there are a shit ton of people doing customs, and they're amazing. So they're literally taking the Amiibos, and they're modifying them to whatever they want. Like, I just saw somebody post one, like, 2 days ago. They took the Mega Man, and they turned him into Deadpool.
Nice.
So there's, like, a Deadpool Mega Man Amiibo. Yeah, it's amazing. And so what I'm seeing is really awesome is that the Urban Vinyl scene is really underground. And, you know, like, when I tell most people, they're like, wait, so these are toys? What is this stuff? And even kids, they're like, I've never heard of this or whatever like that. But what's cool is the Amiibos and Nintendo, they're just, you know, mass appeal, and they're triggering people to custom their own toys, right? So like, that's just more fuel to the fire for me. I'm just like, oh, this is awesome. More and more people are going to get this when they see that, oh, custom toys, right? That's not going to be unusual. And commissions are happening on that subreddit where people are like, dude, that Bowser's awesome, can I buy one off of you, right? And so there's like a lot of cool stuff going on there as well, and like I'm watching that space very closely, because that's where I kind of see a lot of the stuff becoming more and more mainstream, where, you know, these kids, it's really weird to say these kids, but these kids that are like 10 years old or whatever, they're totally used to buying a custom toy by somebody, right? Whereas to us, we're all like, this is all kind of new and kind of hip or whatever like that. But to them, they're like going to be like, oh, yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to commission, you know, a $5,000 custom piece, because that's normal to me, right? That's something that I feel like we kind of lost in the last 20th century, I guess. With regards to commissioning artists and things like that. So I'm pretty excited about that. But then also, obviously, the Amiibos have the game functionality, which is super awesome too, right? There's more stuff there that I'm excited about. Like, obviously, the sculpture side, that's always going to be the most important side, but the fact that they're going to hold more meaning than just a sculpture is going to be really, really interesting in the future, right? Because, like, you know, 1,000 years from now, somebody's going to dig out an Amiibo in the dirt and then like, hey, there's data on this thing. What's on it, right? You know, and you'll find, like, some guy's, like, save game from Mega Man 25 or something. You know? So there's a lot of cool stuff that's going to happen there. So.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He never made it past level 8-4.
Exactly.
So, okay, let me ask you, you must be into toys, right? Obviously. What is your favorite toy ever?
Oh, my God. My favorite toy ever?
Ever in your life.
Oh, man. You know, I'll give you my one answer for. I'll give you my one answer for the toy side of things. As like a mass-produced toy. My favorite toy still, and this is just one of those things because I grew up and this is very topical with what we just started the show on, is basically, and it depends on what you subscribe to, it's the Transformers Jetfire, but otherwise, it's also the Robotech. Basically, that toy to me is like the pinnacle of, I don't know what it is, like engineering as well as execution. Basically it has the three modes, right? It's got the robot mode, the jet mode, the Jerwalker mode. It was metal, right? I was like, man, why aren't more toys metal these days or whatever like that? And it just had all those components to it that basically, I honestly don't think toys have gotten better than that. The paint jobs have gotten better, but it had everything in it, right? Nowadays we're seeing more ball joints and things like that, but the fact that they were able to achieve that in the 80s, not that the 80s were that bad, but was super impressive to me, and that's like still my favorite toy. And I think the other reason too is because I also grew up watching Transformers and Robotech, there's always that special place in my heart too, right? Where you're just like, oh man, right? And this is a combination of two of my favorite series ever, right? So there's like it's complex, right? So I would say that's like my favorite mass-produced toy, you know, that's right there. I mean, what's crazier is that you go to Japan, there are people making custom Transformers now. That Transformers.
Yeah, yeah.
It is crazy.
You're kidding.
Like, no, they are casting their own pieces. They're taking joints from other old Transformers, ripping them apart, making their own joints, coming up with their own characters that don't exist on Cybertron or whatever like that, right? They transform. It's blowing my mind. And then what you can do is you can buy kits for a lot of money, and they'll basically cast you them, right? And you can put it together yourself. There's these underground conventions. Yeah. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I mean, I haven't gone into that world because I'm probably gonna go broke. but I'm sure that there's something better than the Jetfire now, right? But it's just that, there's a whole world that's kind of blossomed from that.
Yeah.
So lots of crazy stuff going on, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it probably already exists, but there was a difference between, because you described the toy Jetfire, what was called Jetfire, but in the cartoon he was called Skyfire, and he had a different look because of that whole, exactly with what you described. There's two different franchises.
Yeah, right.
And so, like, the Transformer Hasbro or, Marvel couldn't get that look.
Right.
Unless they had to change it up, so he didn't have the guns on his head. He just had a head. Now he kind of looked like a spaceship from Cybertron. And has anyone made that toy now? It's got to exist, right? Like,
I think that does.
The Skyfire TV show accurate version. Yeah. No, I have a buddy at work who his name's Marco. Actually, I should hook him up with you for promotion of these toys and stuff, because he also makes his own custom. Toys or buddy
cool.
of his
nice.
In China does, but I'm sure some cross promotion between states. Because I was going to ask you, I'm guessing you promote domestically, but I know you guys.
Yep.
You and your brother are always here or there. Like,
yeah.
I can't keep up with where you guys
are
at.
yep.
But yeah, he's always showing me the latest, greatest black market Transformers, or like the deluxe versions that have like the bendy fingers, and they're the things you wanted to play with when you were eight. And they're pretty awesome. Biff, if you saw this stuff, you'd lose your mind. It's amazing.
Sounds amazing.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. I always, the stuff you kind of imagined as a kid, like you buy the Jets when you're 8 and there's Skyfire in them, and you change them into the robot, and you put it on your desk, and you're like, yeah, I guess that's, yeah. And like you're watching the TV show, and it's like they look nothing like that, and you're like,
yeah,
ah, whatever. I got my imagination. We're good, you know.
Right.
But now they're making them look like TV show accurate. They're really looking good now.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah. I mean, actually, you guys have probably seen the official Masterpiece series, right? You guys have probably seen those, right? The Transformers Masterpiece
right.
series.
Oh yeah.
They're doing a damn good job with those. Obviously, a lot of money is being poured into those things, and that's. Like, when I saw the Optimus Prime for that, my jaw dropped because they made sure that when he's in truck mode, the front of the truck was flat and square. But then when he was in, like, robot mode, like, his body was torso-shaped, right? They went to that detail to match the TV series. You know, like, I was like, oh, my God, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's
like,
great.
You know, when I talk about dream job, like, I feel like that would be a dream job is if you were, like, a Transformers Master Series Masterpiece series designer, you know, like all you're doing is coming up with how this thing is all going to come together. Like that sounds amazing to me. So that would be my dream job.
Oh yeah, that would be a cool job too.
Pretty slick.
Right. And
pretty
then,
slick.
Yeah, and so basically you have this endless series because they're just like, okay, so what's next? All right, got to do Bumblebee. All right, you know, got to do Starscream. Like you just have all
okay,
these.
Now
things
let me
like
ask you guys a question. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that they can pretty much, like you were saying, they make him so he looks like a truck and so he doesn't have a flat chest or whatever? But don't you get to a point where it's just perfect?
Yeah,
pretty much?
I hope so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Isn't there like an apex? Do you feel as though toys have hit an apex though for what they can do, or do you think that that's still open ball field?
You know, that's a tough question. I think with the Masterpiece series, they've really hit some amazing things. But I think the other challenge, like, I'm actually wondering, like, if you really want to get crazy in my mind, I actually think that my apex is when things actually are moving, like electrical, right? Like that's a whole other level. I don't know if we'll actually see a really solid version of that in our lifetime at such a small scale, but like that would be amazing, right? It's like, oh, okay, we're seeing. There's another subreddit that I subscribe to called Shitty Robots, where you have a lot of basic robotics happening right now that require a lot of power, but that to me is kind of the next level, at least for Transformers and that kind of stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen it
with regards to
I haven't seen it with Transformers. Mm-hmm. I've seen it with the Black Ox from Gigantor or whatever. And he's got to be like 20 inches tall or something like that. He's pretty big.
Right.
But yeah, they've got the glowing eyes and he's punching and like doing some martial arts. And yeah, it's cool, you know. But I haven't seen that with Transformers. That'd be great.
Right.
Yeah,
I interrupted that would be the next level. No. I'm just saying like I think that would be the next level. The way that I see, like, in terms of Apex. Sculpting and things like that, we're going to continue to see, obviously, you're going to hit an Apex for when it matches the exact style of the original cartoon, but what we're seeing a lot more of is, and this is what I primarily want to promote, is more and more of the DIY stuff, where people are doing their own take on what they think Optimus Prime could look like in another universe and things like that. So, in that, I have absolutely no problem with. Like, there's always going to be an endless stream of creativity from people. And the fact that more and more people are doing this on their own, it's never going to end. So,
Awesome, man.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, gosh, man.
The other thing also is, we're talking a lot about Transformers and things like that, but the other thing also that, the mainstream, they discover the designer toys through a lot of this stuff. And we're seeing a little bit, in my opinion, a little bit too much of the licensing that's going on these days with some of the designer toy companies. One of the other things to pay attention to is that, and the other thing I'm promoting, is that a lot of these independent artists have their own characters and creations and things like that, right? And the internet's made it both easier and harder for these artists to get noticed. Like, easier because any artist can put up a website now and, you know, show their work. But then at the same time, because Comic-Con's gotten so crazy and Disney owns everything, Like the other challenge that I see is that, you know, they have to compete with the Star Wars and the Avengers and stuff like that. Right? And one of the things I'm a little bit sad by is that I see a lot of artists that are just always like, okay, I guess I'll do an Avengers thing, or I guess I'll do a Star Wars thing because that'll get press or whatever like that. Right.
Right.
And so like, if I were going to pitch an ulterior motive on the show is like, you know, for everybody out there listening is like, you know, go take a look at what the artists are doing themselves, you know, like, a lot of them actually have some interesting stories to tell, but because of the frenzy that's going on with all the marketing stuff like that, you could easily miss it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's,
well, that's a good point. I mean, I'm guilty as charged. When I went to ApeCon there and was talking with you there, before I went, I was actually thinking about maybe turning out a little bit of art and selling some prints like my other friends are doing. And I think we talked about this on another show also, was the, when Gus, or he was my neighbor.
Right. You
know, we were sharing a booth and we were talking about to draw the fan art or not to draw the fan art. Because if you want the sales, even at these smaller conventions where they know it's independent artists and Ape is about as independent as you get, it is, you know, you're going to get the sales when you draw the Avengers or you draw, you know, Groot or some shit. And like, you know, they're going to buy that print.
Right.
You know it. And you don't do it because I do have a story to tell. I do have different characters that I've, you know, got in my head but never put on paper. And yet there's that, you know, there's that pull with the fan art. So that's a good point. So looking at the other artists creating these, even Urban Vinyl or whatever, and seeing what they're actually up to, is that's a good point.
Yeah. That'll be my, G.I. Joe, knowing is half the battle message that I bring onto the show. So.
Well, because you mentioned Huck G earlier, and you and I had an opportunity to work with him briefly on a Kickstarter.
Yep. Right.
And that's something I put one image on the show descriptor page. If you guys go to blogtalkradio.com/geekpile and look up this episode, you'll see his image of these. They're like, and Biff, this is where we'll get into your topic you want to talk about. They're like, they took the monies or the dunnies. Huck did. He took the monies and, or it was a dunnies. It's dunnies, right? No. I can't remember the difference.
You have, the money is the monkey. The dunnies are the rabbits, I guess.
Okay. And these are, these are the blanks you can buy from Kid Robot. And they have the big head and one has a pair of ears. That's the dunny. And one doesn't. And that's called the money. He'll take those and he'll paint them up to look like different animals and stuff, but he'll go a step further and not just paint it. He'll actually craft some costumes. And these ones I have up on the site, they look like ninjas.
Yeah.
They're pretty sweet, you know?
Yep. I mean, basically, with Huck's history with Kid Robot is even crazier because he actually helped design the original Money and Dunnies with Paul Budnitz and Tristan Eaton. So like, you know, like he's got quite a bit of history there. Like he was there at the very, very beginning. And, I had the pleasure of having him tell me a little bit of the story, which is kind of cool. Cause, essentially Huck was, he basically, was a graffiti artist, back in the early 90s and, was just busy getting arrested all the time. And one of the things he admitted is that he's like, damn it, I wasn't very fast at the time. That's the reason he got arrested, because he's not done with his piece yet. And then the cops roll by, right? And then what ended up happening was he started noticing, and this is a little bit of history lesson on the designer toy stuff. There's this guy coming out of Hong Kong named Michael Lau, who was an artist, and all of his friends were these, like, triad guys, like these hoodlums. And they're all wearing, like, weird, like Western hip hop style stuff, but in Hong Kong, and it looks kind of weird. He started taking G.I. Joe guys, which over in Hong Kong are the UK style ones. So they're big, you know, they're like maybe, like 6 inches tall or whatever. And he started making them look like his urban buddies. Right. And he started selling them on the street and they started taking off like crazy. And then eventually that's sort of where the custom toys came from. And Paul Budnitz saw these, he's the creator of Kid Robot, and basically brought that to the U.S. via Kid Robot, right? And so I guess, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, but basically Huck was like, wow, this is pretty awesome. And he just contacted Paul Budnitz, and Paul Budnitz is like, hey, I'm going to open a store in San Francisco. You want to manage it? And then from there, like, the rest is history. They just started hanging out. Huck is an amazing artist, and then him and Tristan and Paul decided that they wanted to do their own platform. And so the Kid Robot toy wasn't originally the Dunny and the Money. The original Kid Robot toy was actually the logo, the robot guy. So there's, like,
right.
a face that's got, you know, the big eyes. So Paul Bundes actually originally designed that guy, and he had that made first. But I think what they learned is that it's very hard to paint on that toy because he's got a lot of details.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So for artists to customize that thing, that you can only do it so many ways because you can just color his hands or something like that. So then Tristan, I think, was the guy that originally created the Money and the Dunny, came up with this big head that's got a big flat surface on the front so you can paint a lot on it before getting to the details. And the hands are, you know, he's got no fingers or anything like that, right? It's just, you know, two cups, essentially. And then Huck became one of the very first customizers. And he, in my opinion, is still one of the best customizers on the planet. And if you ever have the opportunity to go to a studio in the Soma, he's got a whole lab where he sets up, you know, his plastics. He actually works right above a plastic store and basically is doing everything from plastics to metal work to, like, leather,
wow.
fabrics. It doesn't matter what it takes, he'll do it, right?
Nice.
This last project that he did, he actually put joints that snap, you know, into the pieces. So he's, like, getting into that stuff. And he's hand-casting these joints himself, right? So,
So
he's at a whole other level, basically.
Wow.
And so the project that Dan and I were working on is kind of the opposite direction, where it turns out Huck is a huge gaming nerd. He plays everything. And basically, he was interested in making a game. And so what ended up happening was we knew one of Huck's big collectors that knew that he was kind of wanted to work on games. And then we basically did this Kickstarter to see if we could do a mobile game with Huck's universe. And his universe is called Gold Life, which is heavily influenced by Edo period Japanese art. He likes to mix in all of, like, the American pop culture stuff. So, you know, it's a bunch of snow monkeys and rabbits and raccoons and things like that all running around in this mysterious world called Kanasu, where basically everybody is trying to put their name on everything else. And he's mixing in that kind of American culture where, like, I want to drive the biggest car, I want everybody to know my name, versus, you know, like, you know, the Japanese culture where everybody's not trying to do that. So what Dan's actually helped us out a lot on was actually helping to do some of the concept art for turning his toys, this totally opposite direction, which is he makes the toys and then turning that into 2D art. Usually you go the other way, right? Usually you're like, I draw a concept, that's cool, I can do comics, but I don't know how to make toys. Huck went the other direction. Huck's like, I can make toys, I can make 3D things, and then now we're going to go the opposite direction and turn them into 2D. And so that project is, it's still ongoing, and I am the bottleneck on that, but the game is called Battle Tales. the game is called Battle Tales, so, and the Tales is spelled T-A-I-L-S. So,
nice.
It's basically a side-scrolling tower defense game. But what's awesome is that it features like 30 or some characters from Huck's world, including himself. He actually made himself, which is pretty awesome. So you can actually play as Huck. And so we're actually in the middle of a beta testing right now and basically trying to hammer out all the bugs. And this was very much a passion project. And that's the reason why it's taking so long, because passion projects always take a long time. That's kind of sort of the current project that I have with Huck, in addition to a lot of the toy stuff that he's doing. So,
very cool.
So, yeah.
Okay, we got a little bit of history.
Yeah, right?
I never knew any of that stuff.
Amazing.
And it's slightly in my back yard of experience, although I never really, it's one of those things where you work at a place, you don't really know about what happens after you leave until you hear from someone else. When I used to work at Wild Brain making commercials, Wild Brain Animation Studios in San Francisco, apparently that the Kid Robot was kind of a spinoff, or somebody who used to work at Wild Brain did they had a passion project involving wanting to do these toys, and apparently that's what I heard.
Right.
And I'm like,
yeah,
you know. Do you remember anything about that at all?
Yeah, actually, so, and I think this happened early 2000, 2001-ish, maybe?
Right about the time I left. Yep, that's right about the time I left the studio.
Yeah, so I think, I'm not sure if Paul Budnitz actually worked there or not, but I think it was, I know for sure, because I did go and look that up a little bit, that WildBrain had a significant stake in Kid Robot.
Right,
like, that's
right.
For sure, right? And I don't know which direction it came from, whether or not it was a spinoff, or that they saw what Kid Robot was trying to do and they invested. So I'm not really sure which
one. I think it's the latter. I think they saw and went for an investment because, honestly, mm-hmm. they felt like this is right after the dot-com crash, and we're like, oh, is this animation thing going to work? I don't know.
Right.
I think that's honestly what happened. And who can blame them, you know? It's like, yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah.
I would have invested in it if I had money. Come on,
mm-hmm.
man.
Yeah.
Looks cool.
Yeah. One of the other interesting things, I don't know if you know anything about this, was apparently there was a Kid Robot movie that was slated that never happened.
Whoa. No, I didn't hear anything about that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I saw that on, like, the Wikipedia page, and I was like, whoa, what is this? Because, like, apparently WildBrain was going to do, like, an animated movie or something that was around. Yeah. So I was like, man,
they were always
that'd be
trying
exciting.
To get that. They were always trying to get that one movie out. That was the studio's goal, is to just, you know, start making movies, but it just never quite panned out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They got as far as, like, doing some outsourcing, like Ferngully 2 and stuff like that. They had their hands in a bunch of stuff, but never quite hit the big time movie. Oh, well. You did mention Designer Con, and man, I feel like I was busy going to a couple cons these last couple weekends. We hit Big Wow last weekend,
right.
And that was fun. We did some cosplay. I dressed up as a Jedi or a Sith. I forget which. I had on the black. And then my wife dressed up like a Sith. And my brother was Daredevil, and my stepson was Wilson Fisk. And they got stopped every 5 minutes. We couldn't go 2 feet without somebody, oh, let me get your picture. Let me get your picture. Oh, my gosh. And that was a lot of fun. Not a ton of
fun. They look pretty good, though, dude.
Yeah, it was fun, right? They totally did fit the part. It was awesome. That was quite a difference between this weekend. We did Kraken Con, and we dressed up.
Yeah.
That was going back to my roots. That's at the old Oakland Convention Center, and that's where WonderCon used to be. So I just kind of had this little ghost of WonderCon kind of fleeting, and because it's totally different from Kraken Con. It's basically a huge anime fan con, and I was like, oh, this is different. It's definitely different than Big Wow, because Big Wow felt like WonderCon. It was like a mix mash of everything, you know, comics and everything. But this was just basically anime, and it's a different crowd. But they're still fun. But we didn't get stopped for Daredevil and Daredevil and them. They didn't get stopped that time. It was just us getting stopped because I was I dressed up like Henry Jones Sr., you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Sean Connery, and then my wife.
You did?
Yeah, my wife
it's
was
so
Indiana.
Good.
She was Indiana.
Yeah, the umbrella.
Solo. Yeah, I had the umbrella and everything. So folks would see, they'd see me first, and then they're like, oh, man, get your picture. And then, you know, so Wilson Fisk is back here getting angry, about to beat me up, because I'm taking all of his photo time. But I could tell definitely at Kraken Con, I would think the designer toys would be bigger there.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
is Designer Con only for designer toys if I was going to go to that con?
Yep. Yeah, actually, Designer Con, it's my favorite con because of the fact that it is pretty much exclusively toys.
Nice.
And
that's so awesome.
Yeah. And the nice thing, at least right now, is that it's still kind of small. So it's in the Pasadena Convention Center. Last year was the first year it went to 2 days, right? It used to just be 1 day. And I think you can still get a vendor booth right now for like $350, right?
Wow.
So it's relatively affordable if you have enough stuff to sell. And the people that all go to it are people specifically looking for toys, right? Like collectors and things like that. And the other nice thing compared to Comic-Con is that because you don't have Hollywood there, you're not inundated. You actually can take your time. You can actually talk to the artists. They're not, you know, trying to shoo people away from lining up for the next signing of whatever, right? And so, like, that's like my current favorite con. Yeah, and so that's in November. I'm trying to remember, November 9th or something. It's like the second weekend, I think. And that's so I'm going to be going to that. I'm going to be hanging out at the Martin Shoe booth. That's definitely for anybody who is remotely curious about this stuff. I think it's also like $5 to get in or something. Like, this is
really,
like, if you're down in LA or whatever. Yeah, it's worth it to just go and check it out, because it's a lot of fun. You're going to see. Last year, there was a bunch of people that actually flew in from, like, other countries, because they knew that this was actually the place where toy people go. And so I was super happy, because, like, oh, man, other people from other countries are coming in here because they know that this is the spot where all the designer toy people are hanging. So,
That's so awesome.
And then
man.
Comic-Con. Yeah, and then Comic-Con, obviously there's always going to be toys at Comic-Con. It's just that it's inundating. But one of the things that, for people who do like the toys at Comic-Con, I hope they do it again this year, but Monkey King Toys down in L.A., they always throw, like, a toy party down in San Diego Thursday night. And so just look up Monkey King. It's spelled like M-U-N-K-Y, Monkey King Toys. And they always do this awesome toy party where a lot of the designer toy artists do a live art battle. So you're eating pizza and you're watching these amazing toy artists go at it on a board. And it's awesome. And all the artists are drunk too, so it's even more amusing. That's definitely, if you want to go hang out with the toy artists, like, that's something that I highly recommend checking out.
So. That sounds wicked fun. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So Biff, you ready to come fly out? And,
hell yeah!
You want to check out Huck G's studio, and then we'll go down to L.A.?
Hell yeah, let's do it!
Yeah.
Nice.
We need some toys.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it,
I'm
man.
Actually
a divorce lawyer. I'm going to be divorced because I'll be broke.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. Yeah, Biv, you'd really dig that whole world, the Edo Japan, you know, the Battle Tales thing, man. You'd dig that because Biv, you're just saying before the show you've been super into ninjas for some reason. What's going on, man?
I don't know. I've been watching all the documentaries I could possibly find on, like, ninjas and samurais and.
You're not just watching American Ninja. You're not doing some.
No.
Some Dudikoff fest. You're straight up watching the history.
This is Nova. I'm watching Nova, bro.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm 70 years old, but they were telling me how to make a samurai sword. You know what it basically told me about
cool.
a samurai sword?
Want to teach you about a samurai? Yeah,
it's fucking hard to make a samurai sword, bro.
It's hard to learn samurai sword. You kidding me?
That too.
I took one Iaido class, right? I took one. The study of that is called Iaido, and they have a. Jen, you should check this out too. It's a good date night thing, right? You go take an Iaido class, and
chick beats you up with a stick. Yeah,
you basically
break
like
that.
Hold this deadly weapon in your hands. Try not to drop it. Oh, and if you do, don't try to catch it.
Yeah,
right.
Fingers are going bye bye. Anyway, they teach you the whole thing is like, hey, look, this basically, if you get this right, if you learn how to do this perfectly, it's nearly impossible to learn how to do this. You also can't carry this around legally in public, so you got to ask yourself, why do you want to learn this craft at all? And basically, the answer is because it's fucking cool.
Kick ass.
Exactly. But that is wicked fun. What else did you learn, man? What's
the
changes? Yeah, what's up with ninjas and samurai?
Oh, fuck. Really? Honestly? You want me to get into it? I can fucking
talk
about this shit.
I mean, why'd you get into it? Just because of watching Daredevil or some shit? I mean.
Well, I think that's what started it, I think.
Did you watch Daredevil, Jen?
I have not.
I've
been holding off on that, actually. Yeah. Because
I
need to dedicate a whole night, right? Because it's going to be.
You got to dedicate at least 2 days.
Yeah, it's a whole weekend.
2 days?
But it's
totally
worth it. And honestly, it's a whole series. You could space it out as long as you like. And
yeah,
just
you can do once a week.
you could be enveloped in this world for a long time and
yep.
space it out and don't mm-hmm. do like what we did and just bust our load in a weekend. I mean, good grief. Just, you know, take some time, you know?
Yeah.
I got other friends saying, oh, I've only gotten up to episode 6. I'm like, just take your time, man. Like, you're enjoying
yeah.
it. I wish I
the
was
rush.
Where you are.
The rush.
I wish I was in your shoes now because you're in that world.
Okay. All right. No, that's definitely
anyway.
Yeah. Watch that or Nova, okay? How to make a samurai sword. It's fucking hard. I think that's the name of the episode. How to make
yep.
a samurai sword. Fuck it, it's hard.
Yeah.
So if you want to look at that, it's on YouTube.
Hey, Jen, did you catch the preview for the Star Wars Battlefront game? And Biff, did you see that?
Yes.
I didn't see the Battlefront game, no. I just saw the trailer for the show.
It's gorgeous.
Now, do you guys have Xbox Ones? I don't have one.
No.
I don't have an
don't
Xbox
have
one.
One,
but I know people that
no.
do.
Yeah, you got a PS4.
Now do I have to get one?
You got to either have a PS4 or an Xbox One, and I tell you what, you watch this preview, and they've pretty
yeah.
much dipped their hand into your bank account because, my goodness.
Right.
Yeah. God, you are watching Return of the Jedi, and you are playing this game, and you are going to spend
you're
your
right.
money to
yeah.
want to play this. I got to wait till November, so you got some time to save. But, yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
Great. I
yeah.
love it.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I felt like it was just a couple of weeks ago at, like Star Wars Celebration, like that one weekend, but that whole
yeah.
week. They like Disney and you know Star Wars just unleashed, you know, everything, right? I felt like their marketing department was like a fully operational Death Star. Like it's like, okay, we're gonna fire everything this week, right? You know what I mean? It's like one after another. They're like fucking Han Solo, like you know, say, like you guys were talking about earlier, right? And then they talk about the game and then Celebration was going on and it was just like amazing. I was just like, oh. I'm a little kid again, and like yeah, they did a fantastic job with that, and like so like outside of the game, I'm just personally very very excited that like Star Wars is getting handled so well, you know, like that's
oh, yeah.
super awesome. But yes, yeah, but yeah, man, Death Star level marketing, that's like crazy, so good.
Yeah,
what did you think about the trailer? Did you like the trailer, Jen?
I like the trailer a lot. I think the thing is, yeah, like I agree with you, like with the Han Solo kind of showing up and saying we're home. I was confused by that as well. Like I was like, what does that mean? And I think that you guys probably nailed it. Like they got back under their ship, right? Like that's
be,
what
right?
I'm gonna bet my money on, right?
Right.
They got back under their ship. That has to be what it is, right? But now I'm actually really curious because I don't know, but like, it's like Mark Hamill and like Carrie Fisher, are they all
yeah.
gonna be back in this somehow?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
like
well,
the next
okay.
question is, right?
Now you saw Luke Skywalker, right? You saw Luke Skywalker with R2-D2. He was the guy that with the metal hand, right? Wouldn't you
mm-hmm.
say that's
mm-hmm.
Luke?
Yeah, I would just say that was right.
And then you saw somebody hand over a lightsaber, which was
mm-hmm.
Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber. That
mm.
was lost on Cloud City to a chick.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably
mm.
Princess Leia, right? So, yeah. You had
damn.
All the old crew
that's awesome.
in
right.
the show. So, it's the stormtrooper guy I don't know about, and the
right.
chick
right.
with the weird motorcycle.
Right.
I don't know about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Right.
The theory
right.
about the right. Star Wars guy or the stormtrooper guy is that maybe he revolts, like he sees something that's too much, and that's why he's all shaky
mm-hmm.
and sweaty in that one scene. It's like, he's
right.
like, oh,
that's,
I can't
right.
handle
yeah.
it,
yeah.
and he leaves.
Yeah, he's always
the
heavy
rebellion.
Breathing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. I just see it was like, oh, it's the heavy breathing guy, you know? Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I think
right?
every scene I've seen him in, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Just
yeah. Out of breath.
Oh man. Okay, sorry to get back to toys, but you guys saw the new, was that the BB, oh my god, I can't
yeah.
remember the name, the new robot. And they made
the
him.
The R2
oh
ball.
My god, they actually made him. It's real.
Yeah.
It's like, holy
yeah.
crap.
How does that work?
I don't know. But
well, not only
but
did they,
one thing
they,
is.
Yeah, they didn't just make the live action
make
one.
Him.
Yeah, the toys. You're gonna buy the toy where he's gonna roll around for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. Christmas. That thing's gonna be fucking everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
kid wants
that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
Gonna be great.
Yes. Yeah. Robotics, man. Telling you. Yes.
Yeah. Right. The next. Pretty soon, all you're gonna have to do with toys is turn them on, and then they're gonna do it
right.
themselves. You just watch.
Right.
We got a little less than 5 minutes left in the show, but I want to see if you have a website or anything, if you're doing all this promotion and stuff, or if somewhere people can find you if they want to get in touch with you about
yeah.
Urban Vinyl.
Yes. You can go to Bearo.com, Bearo.com. That's me. That's my primary website, and you can find all the artists that I support and promote there. And then the other place that I go check out, we're updating the site right now. Right now it's just pointing to Huck's store, but battletails.com, battletails.com. We're actually going to start inviting more and more people to the beta as we get more stable with the game. So check out battletails.com.
Sweet. Yeah, because before
all right.
before we got off the air, I wanted to ask if have you been into any of the I don't know what you call it. It's like robot fighting, but they're using little RC robots in Japan.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Oh, you mean that? Oh, actually, I don't know about the Japan ones. There's two things that are going on here in the U.S. One of them is they call them sumo bot fighting, and that's kind of like Robot Wars back in the day. But
right.
on a much smaller
yeah.
scale, so it's cheaper. The other crazy thing, I have not participated in this. There's something here in the Bay Area called Game of Drones, where they battle drones, like the ones that the quadcopters.
Ooh.
And,
yeah, yeah.
And so what's crazy is that this is. I'm sure that at some point this will be illegal. But basically,
yeah.
Anything goes. So there's one of them that actually has a flamethrower on the damn thing. And,
holy
like, it'll,
shit.
It'll shoot gasoline onto the other thing to burn it out, right? It's crazy, right? But and so they're trying to come up with the most indestructible drone is kind of like the thing. And basically, I was just like, okay, fuck it. We're building Skynet with this. At some point, somebody's going to build one that we can't take down, right?
Yeah. That's how Skynet got started.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
That's how it's gonna start.
Drone fighting. Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah.
And the hunter
champion
killer robot.
Here.
And the
yeah.
hunter killer robot looks just like a drone.
Yeah,
god.
They did.
That's horrifying.
Miles Dyson
right.
is the champ
yeah.
at that place.
Jeez.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's
those are the two
horrifying.
I know. But what's the one that you're talking about, the one in Japan? I actually don't know.
I guess it's sumo bot stuff, because it's almost exactly like what you're
okay.
saying. With these, the bipedal
okay.
robots, and they come up, and you can pre-program what they do. Do they do they punch, or do they
mm-hmm.
do the splits, and do like a, you know, they have all these different, oh, it's great. Just look up like remote control robot fighting on YouTube, and you'll find a whole bunch of stuff. And inevitably, they're always being controlled. Most of the time, when they end the battle and you stop watching these robots fight on a table, they pan over to the winner, and it's always like a 10-year-old kid or something. And I'm like, what the hell? Like
right.
it's crazy,
right.
you know? But makes
yep.
sense. It's basically it's real steel today
yeah.
is what it is, you know, it's the, or the beginning of Big Hero 6. That's basically what it is.
Oh yeah,
is you're really watching
oh,
them
man.
Fight. It's great. It's
mm-hmm.
great. So pretty soon,
oh,
and you'll see people dressing them up. They'll put on like Pipakura armor on them and make them look
oh,
like
cool.
a Gundam. They look like Gundam
nice.
Or you know, Hello
yeah.
maybe Hello Kitty or something. But anyway, we're about 1 minute out. I wanted to say. Good night to all of our live listening audience. Apparently there's been some bandwidth issue on the beginning of the episode. I hope the
yeah.
archives don't sound bad, but apologize for that. And yeah, man. So everybody check out Bearo.com. Say hi to Jen.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
Or hell, man.
Cool.
Friend you on Facebook. Hit friend you on Facebook or whatever. And friend us on Facebook.
Yep.
Go to Facebook.com/GeekPile and say hi and catch up on all the latest geek news and follow us, man. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's actually my brother in the chat room saying it may have just been him, his computer. But yeah, Blog Talk's been known to do some funky stuff every so often. So, yeah. 10 seconds out. Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody. Yeah, we're in the archive post show, but you know we're still live technically, but only people who are listening to archive, which is most people who do listen to archive version. But yeah, man, it's been awesome. Cool. Thanks so much for hanging out. And
yeah,
shoot,
yeah,
man.
Thanks for coming on, Jim.
Well, fun.
Appreciate it. All right.
I'm dead serious, man. I will totally go and visit Huck G Studio, man. You go, I'll bring at least two friends. Three if Biff comes down.
All right.
Word.
All right.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Okay.
And
man,
all right. Have a great night. Biff,
all right.
We'll see you next week, man.
Next week, brother.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we didn't get to talk about my Disney news, but maybe we'll just hit that next week because that's some crazy news, too. I don't understand. Disney's making everything. It's making everything we love, and I hope they can just maintain that.
Right.
All right, y'all. Thanks a lot.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Have a good week. Oh, where's my stuff? Oh, man, I can't. I'm just terrible with these sounds this week. I apologize.
Just hit the button, Dan.
I can't find the button. I'm looking for the button. Where's the button?
The button. Where's the button?
This is why I need you logged in, to help me with the button. All right, y'all. I found it. Okay, good night.
Good job.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Jim.
Surprise, motherfucker! The Geek Kali Ho! That's the most retarded thing I've ever heard.
Where would you want to be here, man?
Government will not involve itself in Project Geek.
I'll offer free geek service to the public. And you can't stop me.
No, we can't. It's not against the law.
Free geek service to anyone who wants it.
The Geek has completely changed the lifestyle of the world.
Geek subscribers are all at home.
Nothing can go wrong with the Geek. Good day, gentlemen.
And you know this, man?
The Geek.
Hi, oh!
I have something to say. It's better to burn out than to fade away.